Good evening, and you can turn to the scripture that's listed there on the card, Genesis chapter 50, and we'll read from verses 15 through 21. Genesis chapter 50, verses 15 through 21. And as we read this passage and think about everything that takes place in this passage, this gives us a look into a person who has truly forgiven those who have wronged him. This is how they act. We have an excellent example here of someone who has truly forgiven. Beginning at verse 15, "And when Joseph's brethren saw that their father was dead, they said, 'Joseph will peradventure hate us and will certainly requite us all the evil which we did unto him.' And they sent a messenger unto Joseph, saying, 'Thy father did command before he died, saying, So shall ye say unto Joseph, Forgive, I pray thee now, the trespass of thy brethren and their sin. For they did unto thee evil, and now, we pray thee, forgive the trespass of the servants of the God of thy father.' And Joseph wept when they spake unto him. And his brethren also went and fell down before his face, and they said, Behold, we be thy servants. And Joseph said unto them, Fear not, for am I in the place of God? But as for you, ye thought evil against me, but God meant it unto good, to bring to pass, as it is this day, to save much people alive. Now therefore, fear ye not, I will nourish you and your little ones. And he comforted them and spake kindly unto them." Let's kneel before the Lord in prayer.
We greet you this evening in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ. We want to turn our attention this evening again to God's Word, and specifically to our topic this evening, Joseph, a brother who forgave. We want to consider the topic of forgiveness as we look at the life of Joseph. We just prayed, "Forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors." We know the importance of forgiveness in the Christian life, and yet sometimes forgiveness is not quite so easy. C.S. Lewis wrote in Mere Christianity, he says, "Everyone says forgiveness is a lovely idea until they have something to forgive. And then to mention the subject at all is to be greeted with howls of anger." You know, we know the teachings of Christ about forgiveness. We know that the Bible says that God has forgiven us more than we can ever imagine, and so therefore we must forgive. Well, you know, then, as we go through life, perhaps someone falsely accuses us, or someone betrays our trust, or someone insults us, or takes advantage of us. And when someone deeply wrongs us, then a sense of justice tends to rise up within us, a sense of self-righteous indignation, a sense that we have been wronged and that we deserve justice. And it's not quite so easy to forgive. When the pain is real because of what someone has done to us, then it can be hard to forgive. Then it can be easy to become bitter, to hold grudges, to harbor ill will towards someone, perhaps even for years, because of what they have done to us. Often the deepest wounds in our heart come from those who are closest to us, and sometimes they can be the hardest to forgive. In the family, it can be hard sometimes to forgive a mother or a father or a brother or a sister or a son or a daughter, or perhaps other people that are close to us, a coworker, a friend, another church member. Sometimes it is those people that it can be the hardest to forgive, perhaps because they are the closest to us. When they betray us in some way, it hurts far more than if a stranger would betray us. Far away, forgiveness sounds lovely, but up close, many times we find that forgiveness is hard. The pain and the hurt and the injustice can be very real. How can we forgive? We want to look this evening at the example of Joseph, a brother who was deeply wronged in many ways. And yet he is an example of someone who, despite all that, was able to forgive. He is an example for us that we can learn from this evening. And we want to look at the life of Joseph this evening and see how he was wronged and how he was able to forgive and be reconciled to his brothers. First of all, what is forgiveness? A basic definition of forgiveness adapted from Webster's 1828 dictionary is that the word forgive means to send away the offense and to not put it to the offender. The English word literally means that. It means to give away. Both the Hebrew word and the Greek word that are translated as forgive also contain the same idea. The Hebrew word means to take away. The Greek word means to send away. To send away the offense and to not put it to the offender. We want to see how Joseph did that in his life. We're going to survey the life of Joseph. In the book of Genesis, the story of Joseph is told from Genesis chapter 37 through Genesis chapter 50. And we're going to survey the events of Joseph's life. I trust that his story is familiar to many of us as we briefly survey his life and especially consider how he was a brother who is able to forgive despite deep wrongs committed against him. And so first of all this evening, I want to consider the wrongs that Joseph endured. And maybe as we consider the wrongs that Joseph endured, perhaps you may be able to identify with him in some ways. So let's begin, if you'll turn along with me, in Genesis chapter 37, and see some of the many ways that Joseph was wronged by those around him. In Genesis chapter 37, verse 3 says that Israel, that is Jacob, his father, loved Joseph more than all his children because he was the son of his old age. And he made him a coat of many colors. And when his brethren, his brothers, saw that their father loved him more than all his brothers, they hated him and could not speak peaceably unto him. Joseph was wronged, first of all, by his brothers. Here, they hated him. It says they could not speak peaceably unto him. Now we can only imagine what all that meant in the life of Joseph as day by day he lived with his 10 brothers, how many insults he may have endured, how many cruel jokes were played against him, how many hardships he endured, how many harsh words were spoken against him, day by day by his brothers, and there were 10 of them, all of them hating him. You can only imagine the hardships, the many times he was wounded by his brothers who hated him and could not speak peaceably unto him. And what had Joseph done? What did he had done to be the favorite son of his father? What had he done to be the son of his father's favorite wife? Before that, his brothers hated him. Then he had some dreams. In verse 5 of this chapter, it says that Joseph dreamed a dream. And he told it to his brothers, and they hated him yet the more. The antagonism increased. He had another dream, and he told it to them. And his brothers said to him in verse 8, "Shalt thou indeed reign over us, or shalt thou indeed have dominion over us?" And they hated him yet the more for his dreams and for his words. Actually, that's in connection with his first dream. And then he had the second dream, and in verse 10 it says that he told it to his father and to his brethren, and his father rebuked him and said unto him, "What is this dream that thou hast dreamed? Shall I and thy mother and thy brethren indeed come and bow down ourselves to thee to the earth?" And his brethren envied him, but his father observed the saying. His brethren envied him. Again, the antagonism increased. It wasn't Joseph's fault that he had these dreams. God gave them those dreams. Maybe he was a little arrogant, perhaps, in sharing them with his family, but it was God who gave him those dreams. What fault was it his that he should be treated this way? And then the story continues. His father sent him to his brothers who were keeping sheep. And as he approached, his brothers conspired to kill him. That only conveys to us the intensity of the hatred that his brothers had toward him. They conspired to kill him. As it says, as Joseph approached his brothers. In verse 19, it says that they said one to another, "Behold, this dreamer cometh." That word dreamer is perhaps a bit mild. In the Hebrew, the Hebrew literally says, "Behold, this Baal of dreams comes, this Lord of Baals." It was a very derogatory term. They mocked him. "Here comes this Lord of dreams coming to greet us." It conveys a bit of the hatred and antagonism of his brothers towards him. Then they took him, they threw him into a pit. Verses 23, it says that they came to pass when Joseph was come nigh unto his brethren that they stripped Joseph out of his coat of many colors that was on him, and they took him and cast him into a pit, and the pit was empty, and there was no water in it, and they sat down to eat bread. They committed that crime against their brother, and then as if they had done nothing, they sat down to eat a meal together. And you know, you might think that maybe Joseph just took this all mildly, without allowing it to bother him too much. But that's not the story that is told. Later on, his brothers would say, when in chapter 42, verse 21, it says that the brother said one to another, he says that we saw the anguish of his soul when he besought us, and we would not hear. Joseph was in great anguish of soul. He was beseeching his brothers. He was crying out to them not to do this while they were stripping of him of his coat and throwing him into the pit. He was crying out in anguish to them not to do this, and yet they ignored him and sat down to eat their bread. Great was their crime against their brother, the wrongs that Joseph endured. And then they sold him to Egypt, knowing full well, or believing or supposing full well, that they would never see him again. Such was the injury that they committed against their brother. Joseph was wronged, deeply wronged by his brothers. But Joseph's brothers were not the only ones who wronged Joseph. We can also observe that Joseph was wronged by his father. It was his father who showed favoritism towards Joseph. His father was the cause of the dysfunction in his family. It was his father's favoritism that incited his brothers to hate him. And it all started because of Jacob's favoritism towards Rachel over Leah. Joseph could have become bitter towards his father for this. We can also see that perhaps Joseph could have become bitter towards his father for rebuking him when he had that dream. He responded to Joseph, "What is this dream that you're dreaming?" Joseph could have become bitter towards his father because, after all, why did Jacob send Joseph to his brothers when Jacob should have seen the hatred that his brothers had toward him? Joseph could have said, "Why didn't my father protect me from the hatred of my father, of my brothers?" He could have become bitter and unforgiving towards his father. Joseph was then wronged in Egypt in multiple ways. The wrongs against Joseph did not end with his brothers. They continued in Egypt. In Egypt, in Potiphar's house, Potiphar's wife falsely accused Joseph. Joseph, again, had done nothing wrong. He had been promoted by Potiphar because he was of his integrity and his diligence. And yet he was falsely accused by Potiphar's wife because of her own selfish reasons, not because of any wrong he had done. And then Potiphar wronged Joseph. Without giving Joseph a fair hearing, without inquiring into what had happened, Potiphar simply believed his wife and, in a fit of rage, had Joseph thrown into prison. If ever there was an unjust trial or criminal proceeding, Joseph endured it. And then Joseph was wronged by the butler. Joseph asked the butler to remember him. Joseph showed kindness to the butler. He interpreted his dream. He helped the butler. And yet, who was there to help him? in his time of need. The butler was left out of prison, and he promptly forgot Joseph and left Joseph there to rot in prison while he enjoyed his freedom. Joseph had helped him, but who was there to help him? If anybody in this world had reason to allow unforgiveness to fester in his heart, certainly it was Joseph. Certainly Joseph had reason to harbor in his heart revenge towards those who had wronged him. Bitterness, hatred, anger, spite, and unforgiveness in his heart because of all that he had endured. And yet it is amazing to observe that we see none of these things in the life of Joseph. As we look at his life, we can see the forgiveness that Joseph gave. We saw the wrongs that Joseph endured, and now we want to look at the forgiveness that Joseph gave. Scripture doesn't tell us explicitly that Joseph forgave his offenders, but it shows us, I believe, a picture of a man who was forgiving, who did not harbor bitterness and resentment in his heart. We're going to look at Joseph and see a man, a picture of a man who was willing to forgive. We see a picture of Joseph in Potiphar's house, a picture of a man who had forgiven his brothers who had wronged him. In Genesis chapter 39, we read about Joseph in Potiphar's house after he had been sold into Egypt. And in verse 2, it says that while Joseph was in Potiphar's house, this was after he had been wronged by his brothers and sold into Egypt. What was his response to life? It says here in verse 2 that the Lord was with Joseph, and he was a prosperous man, and he was in the house of his master, the Egyptian. And his master saw that the Lord was with him. It was so evident that the Lord was with Joseph that even this Egyptian nobleman could see it in Joseph's life. Potiphar saw that the Lord was with him, and that the Lord made all that he did to prosper in his hand. Joseph's spirit was right. The Lord was with him. Often when there is unforgiveness and bitterness in our heart, it puts a separation between us and our God. It puts a strain upon our relationship with God. Psalm 66, verse 18 says, "If I regard iniquity in my heart, the Lord will not hear me." In the New Testament, Jesus says, "And when you stand praying, forgive. If you have aught against any, that your Father also, which is in heaven, may forgive you your trespasses." If there is unforgiveness in our heart, it strangles our relationship with God. Christ teaches that when he says that when we come to God in prayer, we need to come with forgiveness in our hearts. And if we recognize that we hold a grudge against anyone in our heart, we need to forgive them. We need to forgive them before we come to God. Or we can come to God and ask him for help to forgive them. We who have been forgiven much by God have a great obligation to forgive as we have been forgiven, not to earn forgiveness, but because we understand the greatness of the mercy and forgiveness that we have received from God. If we harbor unforgiveness in our heart, it strangles our relationship with God. It stunts our spiritual growth. It robs us of peace in our hearts. Unforgiveness often does more harm to us than it does to anyone else. The fact that the Lord was with Joseph testifies that he was not harboring unforgiveness in his heart. It also says in these verses that we read that Joseph was successful in his work. It says that he was a prosperous man. That doesn't mean that he was wealthy, but it means that what he put his hand to succeeded. And that gives us a picture of a man who was diligent and careful. A picture of a man who was lively and an energetic worker. He was not going around sullen and resentful and bitter because of what he had endured. Rather, he went around with energy and diligently applied himself to his work. Often when there is unforgiveness in our heart, it causes us to be dejected and depressed and resentful. And that can show itself in our actions. But Joseph was diligent and he was prosperous in his work. Also here in Potiphar's house, in Genesis 39, verse 4, it says that Joseph found grace in Potiphar's sight. He found grace in Potiphar's sight. He found favor in Potiphar's sight. Potiphar looked upon Joseph and he saw here was a man who was pleasant to be around. Again, Joseph was not churlish or harsh or critical because there was bitterness in his heart. But here was a man who was pleasant to be around. A picture of someone who possessed a forgiving spirit. It also says here in verse 6, at the end of the verse, it says that Joseph was a goodly person and well-favored. This refers to his countenance. Joseph's countenance was uplifted. He was in good physical health. Often nothing spoils the countenance or face more than a sour and mean-spirited heart. Often when there is unforgiveness in our hearts, it affects our countenance. And unforgiveness can also affect our health. Now, certainly that's not the only thing that affects our health. There are many other factors that affect our health. But one thing that can affect our health can be unforgiveness in our hearts. Dr. David Levy, who is a neurosurgeon, talks about this in his book entitled Gray Matter. He was a surgeon, a doctor who was a Christian, and he learned to pray with his patients and sometimes to counsel with his patients in the doctor's office. I want to quote to you from what he has to say about what he observed in the lives of his patients. He says, and I quote, "When I first began praying for patients, I had no idea that it would lead me to discover the power of forgiveness. Over time, I became convinced that one of the greatest thieves of joy and health is the unwillingness to forgive the people who have hurt you. I confronted this lesson in my own life," he says. "After years of being critical, judgmental, and even envious of people I blamed for my shortcomings and failures, I came to realize that bitterness and envy were affecting my health. When I forgave, beginning with my father, but not stopping there, I ended this destructive cycle and began to change. Releasing bitterness can dramatically help the underlying causes of many physical ailments, often more than any pill or procedure." End of quote. Joseph was a man we see here who possessed a forgiving spirit. We also see his forgiving spirit when he was in prison, after he was wronged by Potiphar and Potiphar's wife. In Genesis chapter 40, we read about Joseph in prison. In verse 4 of this chapter, it says that the captain of the guard charged Joseph with them, that is, with the prisoners, and he served them, he served the prisoners, and they continued a season in the ward. Now here is again is a marvelous thing. Joseph did not sit in prison and simply sulk there because of all that he had suffered. He didn't sulk in prison with a bitter and resentful spirit towards Potiphar's wife for what she had done and Potiphar for his unfair justice towards him. Rather, he was busy serving his fellow prisoners. So much so that the captain of the guard put Joseph in charge of all the prisoners. Verse 7 says, after the butler and the baker were thrown into prison, it says that Joseph asked the butler and the baker that were with him in the ward of his Lord's house in prison, saying, "Wherefore look ye so sadly today?" He observed that these two men were sad as they were in prison. You know, that testifies of someone who is not consumed with his own self. He was able to look around and see the needs of those around us. Often when there is bitterness and unforgiveness in our heart, it causes us to wallow in self-pity, blind to the suffering of others. But that was not Joseph. Again, to quote Dr. Levy, he writes, "When I forgave, it allowed me to see how to care for people in a new way, more selflessly than before." That was Joseph in prison. Also in Genesis chapter 40 and verse 15, when he was speaking to the butler describing a situation, this is what he had to say about why he was in prison. He says, "For indeed I was stolen away out of the land of the Hebrews, and here also have I done nothing that they should put me into the dungeon." A simple statement, but a rather amazing statement. Where are all his wrongdoers in this verse? Where are his brothers who sold him into Egypt, who hated him and betrayed him? Where is Potiphar's wife? Where is Potiphar in this verse? They aren't there. He simply passes over them in silence. He simply says that he was sold into the land and put into prison. Again, a picture of a man who is harboring no bitterness against those who wronged him. And then we have the account of Joseph after his father's death, an account that was read for us in opening. I'm not going to take the time to reread that this evening, but again, a great testimony to the genuine forgiveness that was in Joseph's heart. Joseph did not allow himself to become a victim of the circumstances or a victim of the actions of others against him. Rather, he was willing to forgive and move on, trusting God with his life, trusting that God was in control of his life, trusting that God meant it for good, even when others were doing evil against him. And I want to emphasize this evening that we should not suppose that it was easy for Joseph to endure all these things. As I read earlier in Genesis chapter 42, Joseph cried out with deep anguish of soul when his brothers did that evil against him. And no doubt, many of those things that were committed against him caused deep pain in his heart. And yet he was able to overcome that. Forgiving someone does not mean that we stuff the pain down into our hearts. Often acknowledging the pain that we have endured is part of, can bring healing to our life, but we can acknowledge the pain while also forgiving those who have wronged us. We have observed the wrongs that Joseph endured, the forgiveness that he gave, and I want also to think this evening about the reconciliation that Joseph made. Now, I believe this evening that God wants us to go beyond forgiveness. He wants us to seek to make reconciliation with those who have wronged us. He wants us to seek to restore relationships with those who have wronged us. Jesus said in Matthew and Luke chapter 17, verses 3 and 4, "Take heed to yourselves. If thy brother trespass against thee, rebuke him. And if he repent, forgive him. And if he trespass against thee 7 times in a day, and 7 times in a day turn again to thee, saying, I repent, thou shalt forgive him." Notice what Jesus says here. He says, if your brother sins against you, he says, rebuke him. Now, I believe there's 2 steps to forgiveness, perhaps we could say. The first step is that we fully and freely forgive those who wrong us. That is, we send away the offense and no longer put it to them. But then there is also this second step of reconciliation, where we go to our brother and say, brother, look, this is what you did. This is what you did to me. This is what your actions caused. And we rebuke our brother, not to shame him, not to ruin him, not to cause him to suffer because of what he has done to us, but in order that we might make reconciliation with him, in order that he might see the wrong that he has done and ask forgiveness for it, and that we might express our forgiveness to him, give our forgiveness to him. It says they rebuke him, and when he repents, forgive him. That is, express our forgiveness to him. Tell him that we have fully and freely forgive him. I believe Jesus puts it in that order because, you know, in order for a person to receive forgiveness, they need to repent. That is how it is with God. He offers us forgiveness, but we receive that forgiveness when we repent. And so it is that when someone comes to us and repents, it is then that we can tell them that give them their forgiveness and they can receive it. I do not believe that means that we should not forgive them in our hearts until they repent. We are called to fully and freely forgive. But reconciliation can be made and forgiveness exchanged whenever a person repents. Jesus said in Matthew chapter 18, verse 15, "Moreover, if thy brother shall trespass against thee, go and tell him his fault between thee and him alone. If he shall hear thee, thou hast gained thy brother." That is the goal of going and telling our brother in order to gain our brother, in order to be restored to our brother. Joseph did that with his brothers. We know the story of how Joseph, when his brothers first came to him, they did not know who he was. He had them thrown into prison for a few days. Then he sent them back and he told them that when they come back, they have to bring Benjamin with him. And then when they brought Benjamin, then he sent them away and he put his cup in Benjamin's sack. And then he sent his messenger after him and brought his brothers back and said, "Why did you steal my cup? And Benjamin has to become my slave now because he stole my cup," and all that. Why did Joseph go through all those actions? Now, I think the explanation is that if Joseph would have revealed himself to his brothers the first time, they would have, in essence, have been forced to repent because Joseph was in a position of ultimate power. Joseph's brothers, when they stood before him and he was the prime minister of Egypt, Joseph could have done with them whatever he wanted. And Joseph's brothers recognized that. And if they knew then and there who Joseph was, they would have been forced to repent because otherwise they knew Joseph held it in his power to slay them. So they would have been forced, even if they weren't repentant in their heart, to pretend that they were repentant in order to spare their own lives. Joseph wanted to know whether they were truly repentant. And so he tested them. He tested them by orchestrating it so that Benjamin now stood in his place. Now it was that Benjamin was going to be sacrificed, held in prison in Egypt, unless they were willing to stand up for their brother Benjamin. And would they do it? Would they do it? And we know the amazing scene when Judah stood up and interceded for his brother Benjamin. And they would not leave Benjamin in Egypt like they abandoned Joseph to Egypt. They showed that they were a different set of brothers than Joseph had encountered so many years before when they threw him into a pit. Here were brothers who were changed, who had repented, who were willing to offer their own selves in place of their brother Benjamin. And it was then that Joseph knew that they had repented. And it was then that he revealed himself to them and threw himself upon them weeping, and revealed to them that he was their brother and was restored to them. He had gained his brothers. He gained his brothers because he had forgiven them. He gained his brothers because he sought to make reconciliation with them by, in his own way, there in Egypt, rebuking them for their sin and seeing that they were repentant and being restored to them. He could have at any time while they were in Egypt vented all the vengeance that he wanted to upon his brothers and probably even upon Potiphar and Potiphar's wife. But he didn't. He forgave. Joseph is a tremendous example of someone who forgave. An example for us to follow. A challenge to us to examine our own hearts. Is there bitterness or unforgiveness in our hearts? Perhaps bitterness or unforgiveness that we have harbored for many years? Christ calls us to follow his example. You know, in a way, Joseph was a foreshadowing of Christ, because Christ also suffered many wrongs and injustices. Wrongs and injustices that in a way that we committed against him. And yet he forgave us fully and freely. And he calls us to follow his example. We are called to follow the example of Joseph and of Christ and to forgive. And if possible, to make reconciliation with those who have wronged us. Many times the pain is real and it may take a long time to heal. But ultimately, forgiveness is a choice. Even if the pain remains, forgiveness is a choice. Even if we have to forgive over and over and over again, even if when the pain comes back, we have to again get on our knees and ask God to help us to forgive, forgiveness ultimately is a choice. If there is someone that God brings to your mind this evening that you need to forgive, will you pray to God and ask Him to help you to forgive and tell God, I choose to forgive this person who wronged me. I forgive them for the things that they did to me. I forgive them, and we can list the things, that the wrongs that they did against us. And say, God, I send away the offense, and I no longer put it to them. We can be honest and pour out to God our pain, if there is pain in our life from what they have done to us. But still we can ask Him to help us to forgive. We can release all vengeance and justice to God. In Romans chapter 12, and verse 19, it says that God says that vengeance is mine, I will repay, saith the Lord. We can release justice to God, knowing that if God deems it right, He will mete out whatever justice is right in His sight. That is God's prerogative. We can leave it to Him, give it to Him and forget about it, and instead choose to forgive those who have wronged us. And we can ask God to help us to heal the wounds that may be in our hearts, to help us to again love those who have wronged us. In Ohio, on the afternoon of May 13, 1993, a teenage driver lost control of his car and crashed into a group of Amish children who were walking home from school. Five of the children were killed. Roy Weaver was the father of three of those children who died. Two of his daughters and his two-year-old son were killed. After the funeral, a few days later, a stranger approached Roy. I'm going to quote from a book called House Calls and Hitching Posts by Dorcas Sharp Hoover about the encounter that took place. The stranger said, Mr. Weaver, I'm the chaplain from Wayne County Jail. The man explained to him, I just came from seeing the driver who hit your children. He asked me to stop by and tell you how awfully sorry he is. In fact, the chaplain continued, he feels so terrible that he's been threatening to take his life, and we've put him under special observation all night. Roy clenched and unclenched his fists, and the muscles at the sides of his face pulsed with tension. Then, taking a deep breath, he looked the man in the eye and whispered hoarsely, tell him we forgive him. A pained smile crinkled the weary lines on his bearded face as he added, we don't hold anything against the driver. Forgiveness is painful, Roy thought, walking slowly toward the barn. It means to give up the right to demand revenge for the innocent lives that were taken. But on the other hand, forgiveness is healing. It frees me from the tormenting chains of bitterness. End of quote. We're going to sing a hymn of invitation this evening. I want to invite those who have never experienced the forgiveness of Christ to publicly accept that this evening. But I would also invite you this evening, as the sung a song, that if there is someone that you need to forgive in your life, to quietly ask God as we sing to help you to forgive and to take the steps that you need to forgive and to find freedom from bitterness and ill will and hatred towards that person. Let's sing two verses of a hymn this evening. Brother, what number shall we sing? Number 284 in the black hymnal.